Good morning, everybody. It is my pleasure to introduce our next speaker. Joe Almeida is the Chairman and Chief Executive Officer of Baxter. Joe's going to make some prepared remarks, and then we will have a Q&A session across the hall. Joe.
Good morning, and thank you for having me here today, Mike. It has been about a year since I took the job of CEO and Chairman of Baxter, and I was here about exactly 12 months ago giving you a presentation of my first thoughts on Baxter. Today I'll give you a report card where we are and where we're going with the company. Before we start, the safe harbor statement is in our website and is clear to, is available to everyone. So I'm very proud to be part of Baxter, an 85-year company in healthcare that has a great opportunity to reinvent itself and become a top quartile company in terms of total shareholder return, patient and quality, patient safety and quality, as well as employee satisfaction. So we're very focused at Baxter of reinventing our company with one objective, which is to be true to our mission of saving and sustaining lives. We're a diversified company. We're about $10 billion in sales. But one thing that needs to be underscored at Baxter is that our portfolio are made of medically necessary products and therapies. This is not a trivial thing, because in every hospital you walk in more than 100 countries around the globe, you see Baxter products. You go to people's homes, hundreds of thousands of patients, they are under our care in peritoneal dialysis, are Baxter patients. We have a global presence. We are in over 100 countries. And interesting about our sales, that 40% is U.S. only, 60% is outside the U.S., and 23% is in emerging markets. We have a robust pipeline of new products. We're going to have a very healthy launch of products between 17 and 20. And we feel comfortable with the areas that we have selected to grow. And we'll cover them in a moment with you. So healthcare has challenges across the globe, but the nature of our products make them less relevant to Baxter. We have, in all countries that we participate today, make about 50 to 60% of our products locally or in the distance to our customers that make them available to these customers and patients in those countries. So when we look about a slowdown economically, our procedures are not elective. We're not, in very few cases, in therapies, they're not necessary for the patient to survive. If you have end-stage renal disease, you need the products that we provide. If you go to a hospital to be admitted, you need our antibiotics and our IV solutions and our lactate ringers. So it is important that we understand where Baxter is in terms of the healthcare continuum. We also feel comfortable with the spread of our revenue across the globe, which is a good natural hedge between where we sell and where we make our product. So I would say that the opportunities that Baxter has are focused on areas where we can make a difference and underscore our mission of saving and sustaining lives. So when we look at our financial guidance that we gave this past year in 16th, as you can see by the chart, we have done well against our guidance, and we have done particularly well in two areas. Our SG&A and our gross margin have improved, and pulled by a good mix in sales, but most importantly is our free cash flow that initially, when we came out in 2015, as a new Baxter, once Baxalta was a spun off of our company, Our initial guidance was $400 million. So right now we're looking at $650 million in free cash flow. It's a 30% increase from 500, but more importantly, over a 50% increase of the original estimate that we had in 2015. So as you can see, we have performed well so far as we reported the third quarter, and we feel comfortable with the estimates that we have put forth to our investors. Back in May of 2016, we came out with the Baxter 2020, and we were very clear about three important things to us. One was to be front and center in the quality and patient safety. Baxter has made significant improvement in its quality operations in all of our factories, from complaint handling all the way to how we deal with issues that were before notated in warning letters. We had more than 50 inspections by the FDA and foreign bodies in our facilities this past year with no observations. We feel very proud of the progress. We're not yet satisfied with where we are. We're working very hard. As good news, as the year ended, we were inspected by the FDA in our Round Lake facility, and we had no 43 observations. The importance of that was that site is still have an outstanding corporate warning letter. So we feel very comfortable that sometime this year we're going to lift that warning letter. Another area of aspiration is making sure that our employees are happy when they come to work. And you can see Baxter has done a great job in retention of employees, but also done well across the globe, attracting a very diverse constituency of employees. We have awards across the globe that shows that. When it comes to performance, there are very important factors and vectors, and we selected three that will drive Baxter's top quartile total shareholder performance across many years to come. And those are portfolio and innovation management, operational excellence, and capital allocation. Those three vectors were discussed with our investor back in May, and I want to give you a little update and a refresh what we meant by them. If you look at these four areas of investment, we manage our company for profitability, for innovation, and to attend to our mission of saving and sustaining lives. Core growth on the left is an indication of areas that we're going to be over-investing, because they have the ability to do two things: to alter the weighted average market growth rate of our company. The second is to alter the mix of gross margin by bringing products of higher profitability to our company. One on the far right, strategic bets, are the areas that we think with increased investment we have an opportunity to unlock some value. The two in the middle are how we manage our business, either for higher profitability, which is core return on capital, or maintain or manage differently. So let me give you a couple of examples. When we look at allocation of research and development, what you've seen today was accomplished in the last 12 months, where we're able to reallocate capital from areas of the company that had less probability of success into core growth. I'll give you an example. We were developing a very expensive solution for home hemodialysis, which we didn't think was optimal to begin with. Second, we didn't think the return on investment was going to be there because the end market, was not strong enough. Home hemodialysis is a difficult space. We are in the home. We're committed to the home through peritoneal dialysis. However, we didn't think that project was the right project to be. So we start canceling programs and reinvesting in areas of core growth. We doubled our R&D spending in biosurgery, for instance. We invested slightly higher in a core return on capital, and we reduced maintain or manage differently projects. One thing that you have to think about is not only we're reallocating the R&D dollars, but we're going after efficiency in non-product development spending in research and development. We at Baxter had a significant spending in that area, and we're bringing some efficiencies and operational excellence to that, to those programs. So if you think about where the money is coming from, it's coming from reallocation and by better use of infrastructure cost in research and development. As a result of that, you can see some of the very good programs that we launched this year. I'll highlight a few for you. AMIA, for instance, continues to build tremendous momentum in the US. It has a telemedicine software called ShareSource that has done more than just monitor the patient at home, but allows us to continue to improve time on therapy, which is one of the most important indicators in peritoneal dialysis. We also have PrismaFlex, which is our winning continuous renal replacement therapy technology. PrismaFlex is a technology that allows us now to plug different filtration systems in the ICU to remove CO2 when there's a CO2 buildup in the lungs, or sepsis filtration, or liver toxin filtration. So PrismaFlex is one of the best, if not the best, in class technology. When we shift to our hospital products, we expanded the launch of Hemopatch, and our Sigma Spectrum pump was awarded 2016 best in class in the US. We launched new nutrition programs with a new triple chamber bag, Nomada G13. And also, we continue to accelerate our vancomycin, our injectable, generic injectable with vancomycin cefazolin. So now, if you think about our deployment of cash, I'm going to talk about Claris, our acquisition of API manufacturing in India. When it comes to innovation, organically speaking, we have a very healthy pipeline of products. We have our point-of-care solution coming up in about 2.5 years. We have new generations of monitors for the in-center HD. We have new platforms to allow us to produce product on demand, solutions on demand in parts of the world that don't have access to a factory. A factory for solutions are very expensive. The ability to penetrate in emerging markets for PD, for peritoneal dialysis, will hinge on our ability to produce self-sustaining equipment that can produce product for about 100 patients, so you can put them in several different places in countries like Indonesia, Philippines, parts of South America, and west part of China. So we're very engaged in developing the new technology to continue to serve our patients. When you think about the hospital products, we have new pump enhancements coming up, connectivity. We also are going to revamp our pumps outside the U.S. through a joint venture that we're finalizing, and we're going to expand in the biosurgery business. So this gives you a flavor how many products, more than 100 launches in the next 5 years. Now let me touch upon the acquisition of Claris. Claris is an Indian manufacturer of APIs. Why is that an attractive market for us? I'm not speaking about orals. I'm talking about injectable and most in-solution generics. We have specifically at Baxter the ability to produce stable, tough-to-make APIs in solution. So our strategy is to capitalize on our core competency, and we brought a group, very good team in-house to be able to look at these new molecules. So with the acquisition of Claris, which is delivering already $100 million a year by itself today with 30 to 35% EBITDA margins, is a strong foundation for our company to expand in the area that we said we're going to expand. If you think about the portfolio in the next 5 years, will be more than 100 molecules. And we are continuing to work very hard, and soon we'll probably speak to you about new partnerships that we're making with API manufacturers to develop those stuff to make APIs. So this checks all the boxes of our acquisition strategy, which is strategically makes sense for the company, capitalizes in our position to perform and deliver to the customer ready-to-use bags with tough-to-make APIs in stable condition, also delivers the financials with good return. Within 5 years, we're going to have a double-digit ROIC. So this is an example of our strategy in motion. Now, shifting to operational excellence is the foundation of Baxter is to transform itself in an efficient and effective company. We have four areas of attack: zero-based organization, which is, has been just completed, zero-based spending, global business services, and also portfolio management. These four areas are managed by a group that reports directly to me. We have a chief transformation officer, and we're making those changes very quickly, and we're starting to see the results in our earnings per share. So I feel very comfortable that accelerating this program is feasible within Baxter, and I'd like to praise the folks at Baxter for embracing those changes and moving them forward so fast. When it comes to capital allocation, we have established that reinvesting our business is our priority. We will continue to pay dividends. We just increased our dividends 13%, and our mid to long term target is to have a 35% payout in dividends. We'll make share repurchases when we think is appropriate, is opportunistic. We have a rich areas of investment in our company, so depends how we balance both of them. I would say that M&A will find being the recipient of a lot of our funds, provided they check the boxes of strategy and financial returns. So we will buy shares back opportunistically. We have the authorization in place, and we have the balance sheet capacity. So if you think about what are the things that we need to really underscore in acquiring companies, if you think about, we took 12 months and we purchased one company. We had significant activity in the M&A area, but for us is of paramount importance that we create the discipline of looking at category leaders, but also have the ability to expand two things for Baxter. You think about two criterion of great importance. One is the weighted average market growth rates of our end markets. The second is our mix and altering the gross margin factor to produce better return on investment. So our operating income to go up as a percentage of sales due to the mix change. The financials are pretty straightforward. We have to accelerate our top line growth, but has to be accretive to earnings, to cash earnings in the short term. And we also, we are targeting double digit internal rate of return and attractive ROIC in 3 to 5 years. So Clarice checked all those boxes, and we continue to be very engaged in creating the momentum in M&A. I just want to underscore that I feel comfortable with any M&A between 15 and 20% of our market cap. And I think we're going to continue to look for opportunities in the next, in the near future, in the next 12 months. So if you think about the momentum that we're building in 2017, we're increasing in our innovation drive. We continue to have a strong cadence of product launches. We are going to integrate Clarus into the generic injectable business of Baxter, and we will continue to realize our cost reductions, which have been very important for the company to deliver on its financial results. And we'll deploy the capital between dividends, share repurchase, and M&A in a way that will benefit the company's meet the long-term objectives of being a total shareholder return top quartile company. So if you think about back in May of 2016 when we came out and gave you the 2018 and 2020 outlook, I would say standing here today that I feel very comfortable and optimistic that those numbers are doable, and I feel comfortable with them. If there will be any changes any revisions upward of these numbers, we'll let you know probably during 2017. But right now, they are what they are, and we at Baxter feel very comfortable with these numbers. So closing, we are a new company. We are a new Baxter. A Baxter that has a focus on market-leading product portfolio. A company that has reinvented its portfolio management capabilities to continue to find opportunity within its product groups to create adjacencies and create new businesses, organic and inorganically. We will continue to accelerate the profitability and returns because, as you can see, we're very focused in how we're delivering our cost reduction programs to the company, and we have a strong capital structure. We have very low debt, and we feel comfortable with the debt level going up to 2.0 for now, and this is a great place to be. We have delivered on our free cash flow. We continue to see opportunity to improve our free cash flow. Hence, my comfort level with the targets that we had set forth in 2018 and 2020. Thank you for having me here today.